You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Well, time to settle in for some wrestling talk and some Pearl Jam talk. Yeah, we're going to get a little nerdy on you. That's right. You never hear me get too nerdy on a few things, but you know, I'm a movie fan, I'm a comic fan, and grew up a massive wrestling fan. And my episode part two guest here of the Brenton Not On Tour quarantine cast, Mike Pongratz, who you learned all about last week. We talked a lot, so we broke it up into two episodes. And this week we're going to get into our thoughts on the WWE's decision to move ahead with WrestleMania in an empty arena. What might our friend who wrestled at that event have thought about it? We'll see. We're going to get into the brand new Pearl Jam record because we're super stoked. After all, that's where we met. So we're going to get into Gigaton by Pearl Jam and a few other things. So thanks for joining me again this week. Hope you're staying safe, washing your hands, staying inside, or at least going to a park, keeping your distance and doing your part. Part two starts now. Here we go.
You're listening to the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast. So far, he's taught you about good coffee.
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet shit.
Good music.
I'm like this, you know, and then that becomes your thing. Music just does that.
And the secrets to good travel.
Exits. Okay, there's one back here. And there's probably one over by the wing somewhere.
Now, thanks to COVID-19, he's here to make sure that you're all good during this time of social distancing and self-isolation. So sit back and enjoy as he broadcasts from any number of exotic locations like Costa del Balconia, La Isla del Garage, Playa del Living Room, and the always magical Puerta Vallarta. And don't worry, he's already had the coronavirus and beat it. Still, maybe keep a mask handy. Here's BD.
So, WrestleMania weekend just happened.
Yes.
Obviously, our business. So, obviously, they pre-taped a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on them actually going through with it? Now, I'm hearing there's some people going, listen, hey, like, there's some wrestler comments that are like, listen, we just, people look to us to provide entertainment, which I agree with. Like, you know, they powered ahead after September 11th and all the rest of it. So, there's that. But then it was this unique kind of thing where it was an empty arena and they still kind of did it. And whether you're a wrestling fan or not, picture the NHL having games only on TV with no fans, picture the football, which is actually a better game on TV anyways, fans or no fans. But like, I'd actually love to see an NFL game with nobody in the stands. It would be very interesting. The trash talk alone would be worth the price.
Oh,
you
I know.
Sell that shit. But, I just thought to myself, like, could they not have waited? It's not like they were losing tens of millions of dollars in revenue anyway from the gate.
Right.
And I understand that we as sitting around need to be entertained, and it was certainly a different thing. The question I have to you, should it have been called WrestleMania, or should it have been like the WWE special or something like
that? I may be in the minority here, but I absolutely think that it should have went on. I think it should still have been called WrestleMania because it is WrestleMania. I mean, it is what it is. And WrestleMania, you know, now we're getting to super, like, I'm huge wrestling nerd. So we're getting to super wrestling.
Both.
Nerd.
I mean, likewise.
We both are. Yeah.
Likewise. I don't think I have any of the figures
not trying to
left.
Tune out people. Not trying
I don't
to
think,
tune
but this up. Is a general discussion on any kind of gathering, whether you're a UFC fan, a concert fan, you know, bands are doing shows from home. Bands are doing shows from whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get to Pearl Jam in a minute because that's how we met. But like, things are happening uniquely. It is definitely an interesting time in the world. Movies are being released. Did you like this presentation by them, or should it have been different?
I look at it from a creative person standpoint in that, okay, so you're given, here's the parameters. You're not going to have an audience. We're going to do this show. You are going to go out there and you're going to perform. I look at that as like, okay, this is an amazing challenge that I'm going to come up with something or a way to present this that is going to be just as enthralling to the person watching it at home as if they were watching a film or as if they're watching, you know, some other pre-recorded material. What can I do as a performer to invest them in what I'm doing and to get them to not recognize or realize the fact that there's nobody else in the arena? And there were a couple of things on the show that I thought were bang on, that absolutely did just that.
I'm going to say this, dare I say, It shouldn't have been called WrestleMania.
Okay.
To me, I thought it should have been like, this would normally be WrestleMania weekend. We're calling it this instead. And it's being pushed to SummerSlam's now WrestleMania, or it's a Summer Mania or some, I don't know what my thought was, but my thought was like, initially, maybe it shouldn't be called WrestleMania.
I get that. And my takeaway from the weekend of, you know, the 2 days that they put on the show is I felt bad for some of the performers that were sort of achieving big things in their career. And I'm looking at guys like Drew McIntyre, who won, you know, he beat Brock Lesnar. And this is a big moment for him. And to not have 70,000 people at Raymond James Stadium cheering that were expecting this, it's a moment. You talk to Adam and he'll tell you, you know, when he won his first title, when you hear when it happens and the crowd and these people that have followed you and you get that sort of like that sort of blanket of
an emotional journey. It's an emotional journey.
It is. And some people were, I don't want to say robbed of it, but because they'll get it again at some point.
I'm not opposed to it now. So this is why these people get paid money and I sit on my porch in Cloverdale. At first I was like, I'm not sure it should have been called this. After watching it, I'm like, okay, it's that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Right. Just like, you know, they were doing
that WrestleMania.
It's that WrestleMania. Yeah. So for me, it's like, okay, fair enough. And kudos to everyone involved. So I was entertained. The kids were watching and going, this is so weird, but they were entertained. And so job well done by that team to pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second question.
Okay.
To get off wrestling in a second and we'll move to music.
Second question.
Should they be like, thank you, here's Raw, here's SmackDown, see ya after Labor Day.
And
plank it and just say, that's it. The first break in WWE history, which is also a story.
Yeah.
And then come back swinging the way a season would come back swinging, where you're like, this has ended here. And now we are going to break and we are going to relaunch in September when we can put 10,000 people in a building. That was that. That was then. They go, then, now, and forever. That was then.
Then, now, forever, and well, is, now the new.
Normal. Now the new. So do you think they should break and say, we'll see you when we see you?
I want to say yes, but I know the answer is no. Not for any personal, like, I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, that's
well, I know they cool they've pre-taped. We've heard about all that.
You know, that's the one thing I've always enjoyed with having Adam as my kind of like my in there is I've never wanted to know anything. And even when we were building up to Royal Rumble, I was out there in January and he's like, I don't want to tell you anything. I'm like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, you know, so I don't want to know, but my heart says that the show must go on. The show will go on. And I think at this point now to stop it, it would make all the stuff that's been done sort of in these empty house shows, these empty events, I think it would make it almost mean less.
It's an interesting point that you're making because I agree with two sides of it. I agree that keep the show going and keep it entertaining. And it's really going to push people to get creative. Because I loved, and all bias aside, I loved how Adam and Randy designed out the match and did the whole thing. But I also love, you know, there was the Taker thing, which was
That was brilliant. Thing. And
so there's all these different ways that they're going to get creative. So maybe it becomes a different kind of thing and it challenges people. But I also love the idea that because it's also news that for the first time in WWE history, we are taking a break and we are going to come back swinging with this, this, and this. And
there
sort
is
of
one
like,
man. There is one man who will not let that happen.
Understood. I just was wondering if that. Just I'm just speaking. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. I love being entertained, but
it
I'm
makes
also
it makes
I'm
sense.
I'd also like would be completely fine with them saying, all right, friends, thank you. Thank you for this process. Thank you. We did this. We did that. That's your champion. That's your champion. That's your champion. That's your champion. You get to see them all in September.
Yeah.
And guess what? This and this. So anyways, fun stuff. Moving on.
Well, I just, one last thing on that is I will say, I wish that, I know that the WWE has the contract with Fox that they just signed earlier in the year. There are some amazing content creators that work with the WWE, like the production team behind some of the original content stuff is amazing. And it's only on the network. And unless you get the network, you don't get to see this. And I think there's some stuff on there that they could easily run as content on network programming.
Well, they could rerun Adam's show, and that was hilarious. Hey, man. And they could do all sorts of stuff.
The Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness? Yes.
Whatever gets you a check, buddy. Let's get that. Let's get those residuals going. All right. Switching gears, my friend. So you,
yes.
You got to tell you a little graphic for us. We first met.
So let's see. This is here. Where we go? Let me find it here. So here, look at that guy. Look at those four.
It was a plaid party.
It was a Pearl Jam show, right? So
yeah.
So this
is Hamilton. This is
Hamilton 2011, and yeah, it was. It was the night after.
Oh, so we did Pearl Jam and then SmackDown came in. SmackDown
was pre-taped.
Right.
Then Pearl Jam happened, and then Friday, the following Thursday or Friday was.
I've done so many shows, my brain's fried. So there we go. Yeah. So I that was in Hamilton, and that was fun because we all connected. And then
so now let's see what I have. This one, this one has a real great story behind it.
This is in London, Ontario.
This is in London, and Adam,
my cousin Daryl in the background.
Right there on the right side. Yeah. So again, plaid party. You and I made sure I wear plaid.
I just didn't change.
Yeah, well, hey, if you're comfortable in it, that's fine. But Beth, poor Beth, was like very, very pregnant at that time with their first daughter, Lyric. Yeah. And they made the trip up. And look at Mr. Shorthair Adam there.
Yeah, it was 48 degrees out. It was so hot.
It was super, super hot. Great show. But I think my favorite pick of, we'll bring this one up here too, which is... the three amigos in the show. Brent doing his...
There's the radio. Not radio.
The master of the show.
You know, I just realized that we're going to also turn this into audio. So the first picture was it was Adam and Mike and myself and Carolyn backstage at the show. And the second picture was at a bar in London. That was attached to Budweiser Gardens. And Beth Phoenix was there. And... Beth Copeland and everyone's there hanging out. Basically the same kind of picture, but a hello.
Oh yeah.
The third picture was Mike and I and Adam. They're sitting in their seats and I was working. And now we have a picture
of us
and Mike with the children. Yeah.
Yeah. This with my kids. And this was, I think this was the morning of or the day before you were loading in. And I remember getting lost and you caught me on the street. I got pulled over by a cop.
That's right.
Because I made an illegal turn and you were walking over and the cop was just about to give me a ticket. And I'm like, dude, I'm not from here. I'm sorry. And you're laughing. Mm-hmm. And the cop is like looking at you and you've got your radio on and you got your Pearl Jam lanyard. And he's like, all right, you shouldn't do this. But that was cool because,
it's had fear in her eye.
Oh yeah. And you took the kids in to show them sort of like
I came over a couple years ago, when I was at Riot Fest in Chicago and I had to kill some time. And then I came over and we did, we hung out with the kids and it was cool. So anyways, Mike and I go back a long time
and
we're working together. We're working together finally, which is great. And it all came together through Pearl Jam, who coincidentally dropped a brand new record.
We haven't talked about that yet.
So that's what we're going to get into now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
All right.
So we all met at Pearl Jam in Toronto.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, this was an interesting thing because this was my return to Toronto, the first show I had done in Toronto in an arena in that capacity since, I mean, I'd left in 2005. So it was 2011 and it was on the last record, the Backspacer. Yeah. And the,
Backspacer.
It was on that tour. And that was a huge moment those 2 days for me because, you know, I had come back. It was the biggest shows for me, like in Toronto, I had ever done. I had 2 sold out shows at Pearl Jam. It was amazing. And I did, for the record, for everyone listening, I don't pay for these shows. I was running the shows on behalf of the promoter. So it's not like the biggest shows I've done from a financial standpoint. I was just running the shows and
masterfully running them.
Neil Young was there and Woody Harrelson was there. And it was the PJ 20 release.
Yeah.
Weekend. It was the Toronto Film Festival. So it was a huge weekend and a big, huge moment for me career wise. And then out of that came, you know, a great relationship with Adam and then a great relationship with you guys that we've shared for many, many years now. And
like weird sort of like things where, you know, you grew up in Port Perry and my parents had a cottage in Cadmus.
Totally.
Which is, so there's like all
right around the corner from one of my best friends growing up. And
I grew up in Stouffville. So like,
it's just a funny how it's
so intertwined. Right. But
yeah, and so we bonded over Pearl Jam and I've done, I'm at 17. I'm stuck at 17 shows. They were doing some more coming up and I was touring and I wasn't going to be able to do them. And I'm trying to get to that magical number of 20 Pearl Jam shows in my career, which is great. So I'm trying to get there, but they were coming in and obviously this is postponed everything, but they put a brand new record out, which everyone's been waiting for.
Yes.
Okay. So we kind of were texting back and forth on the record. I sent you a review on Track by Track Breakdown that I thought was great that I saw in Variety.
Yes, it was really well done.
I talked to Adam about that. Adam was like, yeah, I love these. It reminds us of, you know, I loved it because it reminded me of growing up in the 80s and 90s and getting like Metal Edge and reading about the new, you know, Metallica record, the new Skid Row record, the new, all these kind of cool things. And they broke it down like that. So now that you, because the first record, the first single came out and you were like, huh.
Well,
and I remember you being like, huh. And I was like, give it time. I'm sure it's the sum of the greater parts.
It's almost like they did an homage to every band that they grew up listening to and mashed it all into one, but made it sound like Pearl
Jam. And here's the thing about Pearl Jam. And I don't know how much, like, we're also huge Foo Fighter fans and all the rest of it. And like, not every band gets an opportunity to write everything. So you get, you know, I'm pretty confident in anyone listening that has a, you know, dispute on this or has better information than I do, but I'm 100% confident that Dave Grohl has a relatively active role in the songwriting process in the Foo Fighters, likely better than 50%. Yes,
I would think so.
Right.
I would think so.
In this particular case, when you read the reviews on how the record came together, Eddie's massively involved in it, but every single member of that band has contributed, and they always contribute. And then it's breaking down to, well, this is a McCready song, and this
is a Matt Cameron song.
This is a Matt song. And so I think people need to understand that, like, when you're listening to a sum of all parts, it's like, and when you break down how the record was made, I mean, it took a long time because they were demos of demos, and they tried this and they tried that, like any other record does, and they got all these cool sounds sonically.
When you read that interview that was in Variety, I mean, you see how far back some of those demos actually went.
I mean, almost back to the last shows that I did with
them. Like, we're talking, I think 2017 in that ballpark, were some of the early songs. And I think it's really neat to hear. The thing that, you know, kind of blew me away at first when I heard Clairvoyance was I read that was a Matt Cameron song, and I'm like, Matt Cameron using a drum machine? Like, what?
Well, you sit around your house and you create, right? And it's a really interesting take because it's a total, a lot of people that were messaging me going, I don't know what to think. And I'm like, you got to put it in your headphones. And yeah. I think the lost art of the headphone, the real headphone, is lost. And sonically, they were going to put this record out in movie theaters.
Yep.
And let you experience this new sound, which is just the way that they had recorded it. And I thought, if you listen to it in headphones, it sounds completely different than listening to it any other way. And I think people that are on the fence on the record, they need to dive into it. They need to put that, they need to read this amazing Variety article where they talk to this producer about it. And he breaks it down amazingly.
Yeah.
And I think you need to like really go track by track like we used to do. Right.
And,
and what's this new song? And this is, and the bands will go, this is this guy's song. And this is like, you know, this is Sebastian Bach's never sounded better than this. And you're like, oh, okay. Then you go right. You listen for that. And you're like, oh, I guess so. Or this or that, or the new Springsteen record is this. And we brought this guy in for that. And I used to love it. And bands, I don't find do it anymore.
When you talk about headphones, that's how, you know, you want to experience that kind of music. And I see it in my son now. Like he listens to a wide range of stuff. I mean, he was a rocker kid at first. He did his grunge phase. He went through his Led Zeppelin and all that. And now, you know, he went to Tyler, the Creator. And he's a big listening on headphones.
Yeah.
I mean, you experience an album like that. And yeah, it takes me back to when we were the album and cassette era, because we're not that old. We were cassette era. We were, you know, Walkman. But
Yeah, and I just thought the record needed some wings, and it, people need to let it fly a little bit, and I think now that they do it, for me, Quick Escape is one of my favorites because I can picture it live and I know what that's going to be like live. Whoever said it's the first song on the record, and they jam out at the end for like two bars, and I know live that's going to go probably 12 or 16 bars, whatever. Matt's going to take it for a while. Right. So there's some really great stuff. And
Buckle Up is another one I'm a big fan of, but Comes Then Goes, I mean, right off the bat. And that's just Eddie playing his little guitar riff. And
they talk about that. They talk about how they tried many different things on that song and then just decided that's just going to be this. So
of course I had to grab my guitar and try and figure it. And I'm not a guitar player at all, but you know, that's going to be this summer's, you know, new cottage tune type thing. Although it's a 6.5 minute song. So that's a lot of lyrics.
You only need four bars, buddy. Call it a win.
Hey, EAD. That's all I need, right? That's what Machete says, right? Just three chords and the truth.
That's what you need. so we came together on Pearl Jam. It brought together this great, great friendship.
Yeah, man. And look at this.
That's continued on. And
the creative juices that have come out of it now, man.
Right. We're having some fun with it. And
it totally is.
And kudos to you on the stuff that you've been up to. It was great to see you,
man.
In that documentary. There's a WWE documentary on Adam's return.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a wrestling fan or not. Try to find it. By hopefully it'll be on YouTube.
I'm sure it will be, or you know, the network. The network, they always do like the free month trial, like you can sign up.
But there's people that are going to be like, I'm not getting that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to float out there. There's some great footage. Mike, you're in there talking about it.
Yeah, it was fun.
There's some really cool stuff in there. It's a great comeback story. It showcases a great guy with an amazing support system. And I don't think there's a person that can watch that, wrestling fan or not, and not be inspired by it. And I think it's great that you got to be a part of it.
Yeah, man, it was cool. I'm very thankful.
And I appreciate you keeping us all connected and having producing this for me. And
hey,
we're having
man,
some
this
fun,
is,
this fun
is
with
great,
it.
And, man. I love it. And I you know, it's cool to see how you've sort of crafted this show and how you've grown as a podcaster and your interview style. And
well, I never stopped chasing it, and this is why I love this documentary so much, because I'm going to lose the sunlight here for a minute, but I've never stopped chasing it. And it was always been there, and it's something that I've always gone after, and anyone listening will understand me. But I mean, if you got a dream, you got a goal, you got to go after it. It has nothing to do with traveling the world and doing things. It really has to do with going after what I set out to do, which was to A, make a career in music, but B, just learn and be productive and
and being able to contribute to our business. And that's how I do it. And I meet amazing people like you guys, which has forged this great friendship. And here we are.
Well, that's it, man. Like,
it's only dropped 1 degree since we've talked. So it's still 19.
It's still, you know, old person 22 in this booth. So,
but I appreciate the time, brother. And it's all your work that you've done for this has been amazing. And I think it's awesome. We got to keep trying to do this again.
It's kind of neat. Sorry, back to that documentary. I had to laugh because some of the footage they used at the beginning was from old Dean Blundell there.
Saw that, and someone had sent that on Twitter, and I'm like, what? And so I sent a tweet out last night because after watching that, it reminded me, not that I ever need reminding, it just kind of triggered. I'm like, right, Edge Appreciation Night. And then we all met like within 2 days of that.
And he was on Blundell's show.
And now I'm doing, now Blundell's hosting this.
Yeah.
This podcast, and you're producing it, and I don't know. It's a funny world that it's all intertwining, and
you were talking about your gig. I'm like, my whole thing, and you've got kids, I've got kids, and you want to encourage whatever they want to do. Have goals, have dreams, make them realistic. You can have some crazy ones, but at the end of the day, do something you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
100% agree,
brother.
That's
it, man. That is totally it.
Well, thanks for joining me this edition of the Brenton on Tour. We're going to call it the Quarantine Cast. I get to leave. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you, Michael, because you've been very creative, and I've been writing the intros for the other things, but this is what I'm going to challenge you to come up with a new intro for this.
Oh, for the Quarantine Cast.
Yeah, whatever it's going to be, and you're going to voice it, and you're going to write it, and it's going to be, just make sure people understand that they got to stay the hell inside, or at least on a, in a park alone, with the kids, whatever the hell you're going to do. Challenge to you.
I haven't been a copywriter in, almost 20 years. Mm.
So. Well, I'm not a podcaster. So here we go.
Very well played, sir.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your day. Where can people find you? Where can people find you online and all that?
You know what? I'm not much of an onliner, but if you want to go and see what else this mysterious voice has been a part of, just hit my website, www.mp, as in Mike Pongratz, voiceovers, all one word, .com. And I got some stuff up there that I've done over the years that you'd be like, oh, hey, yeah, that's that dude. And it's like, man, it's a good thing he didn't get in front of a camera.
We all have a face for radio.
That's it, buddy. That's it. Thanks so much for doing this, man. This was cool.
Thanks, buddy. And stay warm.
Yes, sir.
And isolated.
And stay isolated, yeah.
Huge, huge thanks to my good friend Mike Pongratz for joining me the last 2 weeks on this odd quarantine Brenton Not On Tour cast, but having some fun. I mean, a little bit of, a little bit of nerd talk never hurts anybody. We're having some fun with that, keeping ourselves occupied, keeping ourselves safe. Hope you're doing the same. More of these are coming. Going to be getting into some other guests offering different kinds of things, what they're up to. So we're going to change it up. I mean, it's been coffee and music and travel. I'm going to move on to life, but I got some other things and other interests, and we're going to cover some of those off and some great stories. So thanks, my friends. Thanks to Mike for putting this all together on the board and just being a part of the Brenton On Tour podcast from inception. So really awesome. Be well, friends. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, listeners. I'm Christy.
And I'm Melissa. And this is Buried Motives, where we dig deep into the details of some of the most gruesome
dirtbag murderers. She said she enjoyed hurting things that can't fight back.
And that is a disturbing view into the mind of a murderer. And such a dirtbag.
Yeah, that's not even strong enough words. This is totally a recipe for disaster. And not to justify whatever is going to happen, but you can totally understand and see how this would be in the works.
If you were only to look at what she did later on and not know any of that history, she would appear like off the wall crazy.
Oh, 100%. Because we're not even close to getting to the end yet. But you can just see this pattern and all this kind of stuff developing in her, which is what we're here for. We're digging deep.
Join us each Thursday as we unearth the dirt bags that live among us
and the motives buried there. Hope you join us as we exhume the truth.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.